Some follow after fortune and fame. So when they're gone, the world will remember their name. But I am learning that what matters most can't be held in my hands, and that riches aren't the measure of the worth of a man. It's found in being faithful to the cross, faithful to his call, laying down my life, surrendering my all, forgetting what's behind me and counting it as loss, faithful to the finish, faithful to the cross. I want to know I ran my race, that I fought the fight and kept the faith. And when at last I stand before the throne, I want to hear him say, "Well done," and that my heavenly Father would be proud of this son. So may my life be faithful to the cross, faithful to his call, laying down my life, surrendering my all, forgetting what's behind me and counting it as loss, faithful to the finish, faithful to the cross. So let this be my legacy for those who follow after me. I was faithful to the cross, faithful to his call, laying down my life, surrendering my all, forgetting what's behind me and counting it as loss, faithful to the finish, faithful to the finish, faithful to the cross, faithful to the cross.
Amen. Be the testimony of our lives to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Genesis this morning, chapter 22, first book in the Bible, making it easy on you today. I could have picked like Habakkuk or something and made you stress in church. Won't do that to you. Genesis 22, if you find that, if you're able to stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning. Genesis 22, and we're going to read verse 1 through verse number 8. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want to preach you a message this morning about a simple title, God Will Provide. God will provide. Let's pray. God, I pray you bless this time, Lord, as we get the opportunity, the privilege to open up your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, and then knowing that you will provide, that you have provided. You provided your son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Again, I pray if there's anyone that does not know you as their Savior today, they would trust in you alone. Please help us to learn and listen from your word today. Be with my words and help and guide. I pray and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 22, I believe we see one of the greatest tests that God gave to one of his Christians here, recorded in Scripture. And as God came to Abraham in Genesis 22, he told him, he just said, I want you to go and take thy son, thy only son Isaac, he says, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Remember that God told Abraham and Sarah, he said, I will give you a son. Now, they didn't wait exactly on God's timing, messed up in that situation with Hagar and Ishmael, and God provided as God said he would and gave them a son, Isaac, in their old age, and that God did the miraculous. And God then came to him sometime later. It's believed that Abraham is about 130 years old and Isaac around 30, and so some time has passed, and God came to Abraham and said, I want you to take your son, that only son, and he says this, whom thou lovest, and take him to the mountain of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Now think about the command that God gave to him, and then think about God giving that command to you, and think about what your response to be. And I would want to think of great faith, that I would rise up in the morning as Abraham did, but I think, Lord, I have a question for you. I have a thought. May I interject for a moment? And Abraham doesn't. And Abraham, he goes and he saddles the ass and gets the two young men with him and gets the wood for the burnt offering and the knife. And they go, they travel 3 days to go to Mount Moriah. And he leaves the young men there and tells Isaac, let's go up the rest of the way ourselves. And he said, I'm going to offer my son as a burnt offering as God had commanded for him to do. We'll skip to the end of the verses here in this passage. And as Isaac speaks up and he says to his father, and he says, Father, here's the wood. Here's the preparations for the sacrifice, the wood and the fire. He says, but where is the lamb? He says, Dad, I think we forgot something. We missed a very important part of the sacrifice. Where's the lamb? And as you know, the lamb must be a spotless lamb, without spot or blemish, that would be a sacrifice, a picture of the Savior that would come to be the spotless, sinless, perfect Lamb of God that would die to pay for the sins of the world. And they, by faith, would offer those sacrifices, looking forward to Jesus Christ one day being that final and ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sins. And as they got on the mountain, he said, Dad, we forgot something, the Lamb. And Abraham, in verse number 8, he responds and says, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That ended Isaac's questioning. That ended his comments and that. And he just trusted Dad, trusted he was following God. And he believed that, he said, that God will provide. God will provide. Do you believe that this morning? That God will provide? See, we serve the same God today that they served back then, and I believe this, that God will provide. You say, but you don't know the circumstances. Think about Abraham and Isaac that day. He asked him to take his son's life. He asked him to sacrifice his only son upon the altar, but he said, God will provide. God will provide. Maybe in faith, said, the best of my faith, God will provide. But God, you got to come through. God, you got to come through. And I believe this still today, that God will provide. I don't know your circumstances, but I know this, God will provide. I don't know all the situations, but I know that God will provide. I don't know all the needs, but I believe this, God will and can provide. In Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That I believe that God can and God will provide. Now, I believe this, that God provided as they followed God's will. Sometimes God's not providing because we've gotten away from God. God couldn't have provided for them in the way that he did. They would have totally missed this incredible picture of Jesus Christ that would one day be the payment for our sins. As Isaac was a picture, he had done nothing wrong. He was going to be sacrificed by the command of God to be the payment for a burnt offering. It made no reason. There was no example for what an idea of what was going to be done, but that was what Jesus Christ would be, the payment for our sins on the cross. God will provide. I want to give you a few thoughts from this message, from this passage this morning, that God will provide. Number one, we see this, that there was a great test from the Lord. A great test from the Lord. In verse number one, the Bible says that God came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. To tempt here means to test or to prove. To test or to prove. Now, you'd want to think that from a teacher to a student, that the students are always listening, the students are always paying attention. Parents, you'd want to think that your kids are listening all the time. Is that true, kids? Always listening, always paying attention, always catching every word that your parents, your teachers have said, always catching what God is telling us. Well, no. And maybe every once in a while, your teacher, your parent wants to give you a test to see, are you actually listening to what I'm telling you? And not to discourage you students today, but every once in a while you get what's called a test. And the test is to test your knowledge about what you've been taught, about what's been given to you. You ever come to a test and you thought, there is no way they ever taught me that. Never happened, never came from their mouth, never was in the workbook at all. They're just cheating me out of a good grade today. And your teacher says, I can show you in the notes where I taught you. I can go back to that. And you're given a test. I remember a few times sitting down for a test and I thought, well, I thought I knew it better than I did. Not doing well on this test today. We're going to be retaking this one again. You know, God sends tests along our way. Sometimes in a week, God maybe gives you a test. God gives you a trial. Now, we know that God will never tempt you or test you with sin, but God brings tests along your way. Sometimes he tests your health. Sometimes he tests your finances. Sometimes God tests your dedication to him. God sends tests along your way, and God is testing to see how well you've been listening, how well you've been following him, and you're going to show God through that test your faith. And so we see that God sent a test along his way. I think of David. We picture David fighting Goliath, and we say fighting Goliath. He went forward with 5 stones, 4 stones in his pocket, 1 with a sling, and he went running at him in the name of the Lord, and he slung that rock, and God put it exactly where he needed to and dropped Goliath down and cut his head. He ended his life. We see a victory that day. But what we don't see is the years of preparation, watching the sheep, protecting the sheep, killing a lion and a bear, get this, guys, with his own bare hands. You think you're a tough guy? You ever killed a lion and a bear with your bare hands? I don't think so. You got nothing on David. And as David went running to Goliath, he wasn't going in his own strength and in his own name. He was going in the name of the Lord, because if God helped him with the lion and the bear, if God helped him with the sheep, then God could help him again facing Goliath, because God helped him with the test back here, and God helped him get through that test and that trial back here, and that God was going to help him again right here. We see a great test that came from the Lord. God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to test your faith, but also your faith is a test, and it's going to be shown and it's going to be read by generations and generations to come to prove your faith and your dedication to me. In the book of Peter, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, that the trying of your faith, tried with fire, might be to the praise and the honor of God. See, the trying of my faith, passing that test, isn't to say, well, look at me. It's to say, well, look at my God. See, God brings trials in your life. Why? To bring honor and glory to God. Maybe God has brought a trial into your life to prove, to say, I just want you to know where that comes from. I just want you to know where you got that from. I want you to know how you have strength and health in life today. It doesn't come from you. It comes from me. And God wants to test our faith. In the book of Psalms, it says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. That God is putting us through a testing, a trial, and a process in our life. Why? To torment us? No. Because as Job would say, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That trial process may not seem to be joyous and good at the time, but in the end, God helps to increase your faith and your trust in him. And as I could imagine Abraham, as they went on a 3-day journey, there was no word said about what was going to happen. How do you tell your son, I'm about to kill you on the mountain? I don't know how that conversation comes out. God has told me to take your life. And as Isaac runs the other direction, who knows how that goes. But he was willing to follow through on this test from the Lord. We see first a great test from the Lord, but next we see great obedience to God's command. And verse number 3, as God told him, take your son, offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham, the Bible says in verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, got the preparations made, and he got up early in the morning. He prepared the donkey, he got the 2 young men with him, he got the wood for the burnt offering, brought the knife with them, went to the place where God told him, 3-day journey. Why? Because Abraham wanted to obey God. You say, but it doesn't make sense, God, what you have me going through. Just obey God. But you don't understand what you're asking me to do. Well, first of all, God does. And just obey God. He had a great obedience to God. When God told him, take your son as a sacrifice, he rose up early in the morning, got all the preparations made, and said, God, if that's what you want me to do, then that's what I'll do. There was no question. There was no discussion. There was no arguing or complaining. It was simply, God, I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to obey when you ask me the small things and the big things. I'm willing to obey no matter what, because God, you're the one that gave me Isaac. You're the one that gave me the son in the old age, and if you can take him from me, I believe you will give him back to me as well. There was a great obedience to the Lord. Let me ask you this. How was your obedience to God's commands? How was your obedience to God's commands? See, here's what happens. Sometimes we come to the Word of God, and we say, God, well, I'll obey that verse, but I'm definitely not obeying that verse. I'll obey that verse sometimes. I don't like that one. That one's for someone else. And we come to the Word of God sometimes, and we pick and choose like it's a buffet instead of saying, this is all of God's command for every one of us, and it's my job not to question or argue or pick them apart. It's my job to obey the command that God has given to me. How are you doing with God's commands? In 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous, meaning causing pain, suffering, or sorrow. God's commandments are not meant to be grievous or difficult. God is commanding you. Why? Because he wants to bless you. Did you know that? God is commanding you because he wants to bless you. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many times is God asking us, do you love me? You say, oh, I love you. But God says, well, then obey me. If you love me, obey me. If you love me, listen to me. If you love me, follow me. We say, oh, God, I love you, but, oh, not that much. What if your spouse, you know, oh, I love, would you do anything for me? First of all, there's a lot behind that question. Would you do anything for me? You're like, wait, what's coming next? I want to know what's coming next. But with God, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You say, Lord, I love you, but I'll only go this far. Keep my commandments, he says. The book of James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We say, Lord, I'm in church today. And God said, good, I want you to obey my commandments. God, I'm reading your word today. God said, good, I want you to keep my commandments. Say, God, I'm trying to follow you today. And God says, good, keep my commandments. Guess what? Not some of them, but all of them. Right? Again, there's some commandments we go, oh, I'm good with that one. I'm good with that one. That one, not so much. That one, when it's convenient, God says, keep my commandments. Abraham was willing to obey all of the commandments that God had given to him. Take your son, go to the mountain, he said, which I will tell thee of, and offer him as a sacrifice. We see a great obedience to God's command. And then number three, we see great faith in God. Great faith in God. As you look at verse number 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Look at this last phrase, and come again to you. How do you bring back a burnt sacrifice? He says, I and the lad will go yonder, and we will come again. And then as Abraham speaks, and then Isaac says, my father, he said, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? And in verse number 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham had a great faith in God. He believed that if he took his own son's life, that God would bring him back to life again. Had Abraham ever seen that before? I don't think so. That's how much faith he had in God. In the book of Hebrews, we know the verses in Hebrews 11, verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him up in a figure. What a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, that he said, if I take my son's life, I believe that God can raise him up again from the dead. What an incredible faith that he had. Joel, do you want to practice this story in person here today? If I take your life, my wife's like, not happening. He had a great faith in God. Let me ask you this. Do you have faith in God today? Do you have faith in God today that if God asks anything from you, that God will perform and do his part if you do your part? Too many times we kind of like step out on faith, kind of holding on, and God says, just step out on faith. Just believe, because if God's commanded, he will come through. Do you have faith in God's word today? Do you have faith in the commandments of God? Do you have faith in the promises of God? Abraham believed if he took his son's life, that he would bring him back to life again. But he said, don't worry, son. God will provide himself a lamb. I believe that Abraham's faith in God gave faith to his son Isaac as well. He said, I believe that if my dad is following God, then I can follow him and that it's all good. I have faith in God. How's your faith in God today? Has it been shaken? Is it only faith in certain areas? Would you put your faith in God today that if God has asked anything from you, that God will come through and God will always do his part. God will always come through and do his part when you follow him. Too many times we put more faith in ourselves than we do in God. Too many times we put more faith in our own vehicles than we do in God. We put our faith in different systems in life more than we do in God. And we say, oh, I trust that, but I can't trust God because I can't see him. Well, God is real. Amen? God is real. God's alive and God's promises are true. Do you have faith and belief in God today? Faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How's your faith today? You say, well, I've lost faith in people. That's one thing. Have you lost faith in God? I hope not. He had great faith in God. He had great, and then we see next the great timing of the Lord. The great timing of the Lord. In verse number 9, they came to the place which God had told him, and he built an altar and laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac now knows what his father meant. He now knows that he's the sacrifice. Guess what? Abraham didn't strong arm him into being bound up. There's faith that Isaac had here in this story as well. He allowed himself to be sacrificed. And as he laid on that altar, doesn't say another word. And in verse number 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was willing to go all the way for God, but look at God's incredible timing. In verse number 11, and now at this exact timing, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, not a second too late, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. It almost happened. I almost had to do it. But he had great faith in God, and God came through right on time. If that was me, I would have thought, God, couldn't you have come through like when I started leaving the house? Couldn't you have stopped me 3 days into the journey? Maybe starting to go up the hill, maybe gathering the wood. But instead, he waited to the last moment to where he raised that knife in God's immaculate, incredible timing. See, you understand this, and you probably are the same as me, that I have my own timing, but God has his timing. You ever thought to the Lord, Lord, I need you to come through on this time, and God totally missed your deadline. He totally missed your timing. He missed it completely. But then God came through on his perfect timing. And afterwards you went, oh, now I see. Oh, now I know God's perfect timing. See, this verse from Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God's timing is this. Wait on God's timing. Wait on God's timing. You say, well, I have my own timing. Okay, good. Throw your timing out the window and trust God's timing. You say, as Americans, we live by time, right? We're on task. We're going. We're doing things. And God says, hey, that's nice, but I have my own timing. And it's different than your timing, but you can just wait. Wait on my timing. And then trust God's timing. Trust his timing. You ever waited, but not patiently? You ever been there before? I'm waiting, but not so patient. Wait, trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wait on God's incredible timing. Be faithful in the midst of God's timing. Sometimes it's silence. Sometimes it's, God, what are you doing here? It's not going the way that I thought. Would you wait on God's incredible timing? And then lastly today, we see God's great sacrifice. In verse number 12, it says here that the angel said to him, I'm sorry, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. And Isaac's like, thank you. Thank you for stopping him. For now I know. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham was willing to give up the most precious thing in his life, his son that God gave to him, to follow God. Sometimes God is going to ask a lot from you. Sometimes God is going to ask for you to sacrifice much, to give much to him, and it may be something that's precious to you, but God will always give you something better in its place. Whatever you give to God, God will always come through. And in verse 13, I always think about this. I always think God said, here's a ram. Here's the ram for you. God didn't say that. In verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. God provided the ram for them. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering. Look at this. In the stead of his son. Think of what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, that one day at this time would come to pay for our sins, that he was going to be sacrificed in the innocence. There'd been nothing wrong done for his life to be taken, but his life was going to be taken. But instead, this ram put in his place in the stead of his son. What a great sacrifice from God. Today, as we look at this about how God will provide, understand this, that it takes great obedience to the Lord. It takes great faith in God. You have to trust in God's incredible timing. But also know this, that it's because of God's great sacrifice. Aren't you thankful for God's great sacrifice today? Amen. As a Christian, may we never forget the sacrifice of the Savior. May we never go a day realizing it as Isaac, I'm sure many times, I can imagine him seeing a ram caught in a thicket in the bushes in years to come and thinking, if it wasn't for that ram, it could have been me dying on that altar. Again, Abraham believing that God would raise him up again. But think about that. Jesus died on the cross, taking your place and mine. I deserve to die. I deserve to pay for my sin. I deserve to go to a place called hell. But the Savior took my place. The innocent, perfect, spotless Lamb of God that willingly came. And he laid down his life. As Isaac would lay down his life and be willing to be that sacrifice to follow the will of his father. Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice on the cross to follow the will of his father. To pay for our sins so that we would never have that punishment of a place called hell. As we look at this passage this morning, we think about this, that God will provide. Has God provided for you in your life? Just a few times or many times over? God has provided. God has provided over and over and over and over again, and God will provide as you follow God. Guess what? If you run from God, if you're not obeying God's commandments, God cannot provide when you're not in the will of God as he would when you're in his will. But think about how God provided to pay for your salvation. That Jesus Christ, that spotless Lamb of God, was nailed to the cross and shed his blood to be the payment for your sins and mine. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have eternal life but by the blood of the Lamb that we receive forgiveness of our sins. And God has provided a Lamb. God already provided a way. But you know what is interesting today? Although God has already provided the way of salvation, how many people are trying to provide their own way of salvation? People that are trying to work their way to heaven, trying to be good enough to earn their way into salvation by coming to church and reading their Bible and getting baptized and all the things that people try to do to earn salvation. But God says this, I've already provided a way. And it's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has provided a way of salvation. And guess what? It's the only way. It's the only way that God will allow anyone to enter into heaven. Do you know the Savior today? Maybe there's something that God has commanded or asked from you and you're not willing to listen, to follow. Would you have great faith in the commandments of God? Would you have great obedience and then watch God come through in his timing? God will provide. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please, God, I pray you bless the message that was given this morning from your word about how you will provide. Lord, first of all, in the area of this salvation, Lord, I think back to a time as a 9-year-old boy that I realized I was lost on my way to hell. I don't deserve heaven for one second, but realized that Jesus died to pay for my sins. And by faith, I simply ask you to come in my heart, forgive me my sins so I can go to heaven. I'm thankful for the day that you provided for my salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here in this room this morning that does not know you as their Savior, that doesn't know that if they died today, that if they would go to heaven or hell or where they go, that they would settle that matter today. With no one looking around, don't want to embarrass anyone, but if you don't know that today, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? If you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your only way of salvation, would you slip your hand up real quick and put it down? No one's looking around. Could I just pray for you today? Maybe in your life, there's something that God has commanded from you, something that God has taken from you, something that God has asked for you to do, and there's not faith in following through. There's not maybe faith in God's timing. Would you trust the Lord today that God will provide? We serve a great God. We have a perfect word of God that God has commanded for us. God wants to bless and to use your life.